This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to try to pull off something complex in this first segment.
And controversial.
Is it?
We'll see.
You got me, Kevin Hagland. You have, Corey Majors and the famous Alec Medford. Gentlemen, I want to talk about the Stars, but also how stressful is it to save seats for other people? We're going to combo up this segment because of experience that Corey had that, quite frankly, might have been selfish for the rest of his family, putting all this pressure on Corey. But before we get to any of that, first give me cut number three, and we're going to talk about those 3-1 Dallas Stars.
Granlund across the line. A one-out shot, and scores! Michael Granlund, power play goal! 1-0 Stars!
So Brandon got the opportunity to go to the game last night. And I'm curious if
really?
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I'm curious if y'all agree with his set assessment. He said he felt like, for the most part, the Stars did not play very well, except for, specifically, he said, like, booty, except for Granlund and Ottinger. I did kind of think this was maybe not, I mean, at the end of the day, who gives a crap? You won the game. But maybe this was not the Stars' best game.
I was nitpicking going into the game. I tweeted it out yesterday.
Which is great that that's where you're at.
Yeah. I was asking, hey, can somebody other than Miko show up? Like, can somebody other than Miko do things? And maybe I was talking with Frank yesterday, and I was like, how stacked is this team? And he was like, I think it's more balanced than stacked. And I was like, okay. But for the first time, they've been balanced. This is the first time, though, that they have a dude that can put the cape on and say, I'll take care of it, guys. Yep. Last year, the balance was out of whack whenever they played Edmonton, and Connor McDavid said, I'll do it. You expect, if we play Edmonton again, that when Connor McDavid says, I'll do it, then Rantanen will say, I will too.
Yes.
And that's like what we expect.
Yes.
And then the depth will balance out there. That's my expectation, is that we can get a goal if we need to. Last night's game, you really just needed Granlund to be him, do what he did. He's playing so free on that line. He's a really good player anyway. Like, he's really good 200 feet anyway. He does all the dirty work in the corners. They know everybody on that scoring line knows their role so well. And right now it looks like the role for Roope is you're going to have to get beat up a little bit and protect Miko. Like, that's the feeling there.
I bet he doesn't totally hate.
No, but so like seeing the way Granlund played, that's all they needed. The hat trick was nice. I still want Robertson to have a goal.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I need to go find this audio from Spittin' Chicklets. They had Mike Modano on. And they asked Modano, they said, hey, they were talking about Austin Matthews. Hey, man, you know, Austin Matthews is having a little tougher time scoring in the playoffs. This is a dude that scores 60 goals in the regular season, but in the playoffs, and Modano said, you get in the playoffs, the time and space gets smaller. And you have to be willing to play within the time and space that's ready for you. And he said he learned that whenever he was an American board player. He had to learn that the time and space to get a shot off, to make your own space, you have to learn how to do that in the playoffs. And Miko obviously has. Jason Robertson, really good regular season scorer. And then the playoffs come and that time and space gets smaller and he just isn't there. So I've been asking for other lines to show up. What they've done, though, is they've protected that front line. That first line's getting their points throughout and they're doing with their job. And the rest of them are doing the rest of their jobs throughout the game. And that is keeping the puck out of their zone, doing a pretty good job of making sure that Otter has the space that he can see. Man, and good God, was Otter on it last night? He was fantastic last night.
Now, somebody just said that to them, at least on the TV broadcast, the fans didn't seem as energetic, perhaps, as
ESPN's
game three.
Broadcast comes across that way for me.
Is it just kind of flat?
Yeah, TB. It's like their crowd mic's not hot enough.
Okay.
But the TBS, but maybe that's right. It seemed at the end of that game, That crowd was rocking. But maybe that's what it was. They weren't there at the beginning and they needed to be there the whole time.
Did it seem like every public athlete we know was at the game fired up, though, because Paige Beckers was there. She was sitting in the front row.
Right on the glass.
Yeah. Yes. Look, that makes sense to me. You're going to get Tyler Booker, Paige Beckers to a hockey game that maybe like that's not their team, or I don't know if they love hockey or not. Feels like you can just get them in the front row, or you can get them in a suite like BB, who's taking off a shirt and going wild in there.
Yeah, the Cowboys players rent those suites out for sure for these games.
There was a couple of FC Dallas players at the game, including one that I might have
offended
several months ago.
Yeah.
Asked a question about celebrating Christmas that went super poorly, and I will never, ever ask such a question again.
It's okay, man.
But there was a lot of representation from DFW Sports yesterday, and I always just think that's really cool.
I do, too. I love it. I wonder how many people around the country recognize most of the faces that they saw whenever ESPN popped them up. But for us, you know, obviously locally, that's a really cool moment. Because, dude, you go to a Knicks game, that thing's just packed with stars, right? Like,
yeah.
You go to a Lakers game, it's packed, and you're always like, who's a Dallas fan? Well, it seems like all of our other sports teams are smart. And they're like, hey, we're going to send you to one of these games tonight because this is going to make it look like a bigger event. And it was last night.
Now, this is a report from somebody who was there, and it was like, it was a little quiet for most of the second, but the third period, I thought the crowd was amazing. And then this question comes in. I just saw something about this last night. Will Otter replace Helly on Team USA? Jake Oettinger said, outside of winning the cup,
he is coming for you, son.
His next goal in his career is to lead Team USA as the number one goalie and win a gold medal.
That's when I heard that, that's all I thought was, he is coming for you, son.
Yeah.
He is trying to take your job. Jake Oettinger's career against Connor Hellebuyck, regular season and playoffs, 9-4-1. 2.44 goals against average, 91.2% or 91% save percentage. He's going to have to be even better. Brian Ray, he's going to have to be even better to close out the Jets. But last night's performance, so far head to head, phenomenal.
From the 817, Finnish Mafia is killing it. Man, I feel like if we redid the Four Nations right now, Finland might win. I'm not totally sure, but it kind of feels like that.
Yeah, I got to go back and see who they were missing from that roster. I feel like they were missing.
They didn't have Miro.
Yeah.
That's a big part of it. Now, along with that, as we bounce back and forth between the Stars and was Corey's family selfish? From the 817, I hate trying to save a seat for someone, but I will say, if a hot lady shows up, then I'm not saving it for my buddies anymore. Now, for your buddies, I get that. For your family, I don't know if that's going to work. Now, Corey, the only reason I'm joking around about saying your family might have been selfish is it sounds like they ask you to save a lot of seats.
All right, so last night, I did not know this, by the way, heading into my leaving the show yesterday.
What?
I went to the dentist. There's a whole other story there that I really don't want to tell.
We can tell.
But you guys really want to tell the story. Got home, went to the gym, almost got run over by a kid, nearly punched him in the face, but I didn't because I'm a calm man. My testosterone, I was ready, but I held back. But yeah, I got home and Adrian goes, hey.
Men's tea. It will prevent you from punching a kid.
Yeah. I got home and Adrian goes, yeah, Carter's orchestra event's at 7. And I went, puck drops at 7. And she was like, and she just stared at me.
Oh.
And then that's when I looked at Carter and I said, Carter, I'm sorry. I will not be able to make your orchestra event tonight. The Stars puck drop is at 7. And that's right when your thing starts. At which my father-in-law was standing behind him and just started laughing. And he was like, and Carter goes, come on, Dad. And I was like, all right, fine. So we show up. I said, I'll take Carter to the gate to the thing early. He had to be there 30 minutes before everybody else. Adrian said, save us front row seats. All right. So I get in there. First thing I do, grab 5 chairs. Teacher comes over and says, those are reserved. And I was like, for who? And she said, for people who reserve the seats. And I was like, all right. And then I went and found another section.
Feels like you were confrontational most of the day.
Well, I just wanted to know. So I went and found another section, front row, right side, right in front of where he was going to be. And I said, how do I save 5 seats? Do I just tell everybody, hey, these are saved? No, I took my sunglasses and I set them in one seat. I took my one key. I have one key. All right. I don't have a house key. I have one key.
How do you get into your house?
Garage.
What if the garage door is broken?
Huh?
What if your garage door runs out of batteries?
The front door has a glass door that I don't have a key to anyway. So I can't get in the house at that point, Kevin. I would have to break in somehow. Next step, put that key in the seat next to me. And then I started looking around. I was like, I have two other seats I have to save. How do I do this? I was stressed the whole time. A lady came over and was trying to sit down. And I was like, I'm sorry, my key is in that seat. And she said, oh, it's okay. We were just thinking about scooting down. I was like, I'm very stressed about this. Please don't put me through this, lady.
Yeah.
And every time somebody walked over to the seat that was next to me that didn't have anything in it, I was just going, oh, God. And so that stresses me out, trying to tell people that I'm saving seats whenever there's nobody there. It's kind of like at a restaurant whenever you're like, yes, I'm here for a party of 15. And they're like, we can't sit you until the rest of them are here.
Okay. And that begs an interesting question from the 972. Used to do that all the time with my kid at dance. Put everything you can on the seats that you need. Should there be a limit? Because like, where are the rest of those people? If you all rode in the same car, I get it. And I know you could just lie and say that. But here's other people that are there 10 minutes before your so-called family is going to show up. Should there be a limit to the number of seats you can save? And if so, what is that limit for the people who show up? And it was like, I do not respect your key as a saving device, and they just brush it off. And has anybody ever had a confrontation because of that? That's what I want to know. It's like, were you sitting somewhere and you're like, oh, that seat's saved. And you're like, well, I don't see him. And like, have you ever been involved in a confrontation? Because I don't think I ever have, Alec, but do you think there should be some sort of limit on saving seats?
There probably should be, because like you said, if you're coming with that size of a party, they should all already be there. Like, especially if they're just running late, it's like, that's their fault.
Yes.
You know, if they didn't travel with you, that's on them. They got to find their own seats. And that's how it always was with me whenever I got a car in high school. It was like, if I showed up late, like, my family didn't save seats or anything. They're like, you showed up late. You knew what time you needed to be here. Mm-hmm. Good luck. Or they're not going to save a parking spot. That's where I find the issue, is at open parking events, people will just go and stand in a parking space. And they're like, no, I'm saving this. And it's
who?
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
College football summer is no time to slouch, because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series, as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit, as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
They're
not
that
here.
Space.
Like, that happened at the Rangers World Series parade. I did a carpool situation with friend of the station, Michael Beer, and we were trying to find a spot right up against the stadium. A bunch of people were just standing in spots, and we're like, hey, we're trying to park. And they're like, no, I'm saving this for my friend.
You can't save a parking spot.
Yeah, it's like, no. One, it's free parking. And two, why? Like, they'll find another spot somewhere. It's 6 a.m. There's barely anybody here.
Yeah.
Nothing more stressful from the 817 than trying to save seats while everyone is staring at
yes.
you. It's not just that. It's the, whether it's real or whether it's not, you assume people are talking about all the seats you're saving. Like, can't believe
yes.
they're saving those seats. They might be talking about the Stars game last night like we were. But you think that they're talking about you. And I do see a lot of people say people are pretty respectful. This is how movie theaters change the game. Because you used to have to, like, movie was coming out, you need to be there, like, what? Like, an hour and a half, 2 hours early, depending on how big of a deal it was.
To get your seat.
Yeah, and now it's like, now I'm going to go ahead and take G6. And you're like, there. And, like,
is G6 your favorite seat?
That just feels like logical.
J9 is, it's the
okay.
last row.
It depends
and right
on how big the theater is, too, but you're right. And so, it's a better system. I admit it's a better system. Every once in a while, I kind of miss that sense of community of like, hey, we all lined up an hour and a half early for a movie we didn't know was going to suck. And then you're like, hey, then we can all talk about how terrible it was on the way out. But probably a better system.
Thank you, Corey. That's why I don't have a family. I hate saving seats.
Man,
I love y'all.
So he was going to get married, or he or she was going to get married. He's like, it can't. Because then you want a kid, and I might have to save seats.
Or you put a rock in the chair and say it's your service animal, pet rock. Somebody said, come on, man, put your hat, keys, shoes, and your ass in the middle. I sat in the middle, but I didn't have my hat on. I was hat-free at this point. So all I had was a key and a pair of sunglasses, and I tried to create the space as much as possible. But that doesn't keep people from asking. They look down and they're like, they know. Oh, somebody left their sunglasses. No, it's my sunglasses. Oh, somebody left their key. No, why would people just leave this crap from their pockets sitting around unless they're doing this? I didn't want to have an argument, though. So it was good. I only had about three people say something, and I said, yes, I'm saving seats, and they were all right with it.
Is the number of seats you should be allowed to save dependent on how big the venue is? Like, let's say at the orchestra concert, there's 60 seats, and you're like, I'm saving 8 seats. I'm like, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, there's only so many.
Yeah, like, you can't do that.
Yeah, and by the way, I ended up standing through the event, too.
Ooh.
I ended up just standing up against the wall because my back's kind of hurting from all this sitting.
This is a good question from the 903. Do y'all ask people to leave if someone is in your seat but the stadium or theater isn't packed? It depends on where we're at, right? Because if we're still 20 minutes before, yeah, they need to move because other people are going to show up. If the game started and I'm running late or the movies started or something like that and I see a better seat, then I will go sit in that seat. What about you guys?
I will sit... I usually kind of just find whatever seat, Kevin. Like, I don't care. I really don't care where I sit. If I'm sitting next to somebody or if I'm sitting next to my family, it doesn't matter. I will sit wherever.
Okay.
My family cares a lot.
Except at the orchestra.
I don't care. I do not care. My family is the one that cares. This is what I said there.
I don't think it really matters to me either.
Oh.
Like, as long as everybody's where, you know, they're supposed to be, which is, you know, within a few seats of each other, then cool. I don't really care. Same with weddings. Same with any kind of, like, event. If it's open seating, I'm like, I showed up. That I did my part.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we'll talk some more Stars. But also, we will talk with our Odyssey NBA insider, Nick Friedel, next on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, let's talk with our Odyssey NBA insider, Nick Friedel. Good morning, sir.
Guys, it's great to be with you.
Yeah, thank you very much for jumping on with us. I know there's a lot of Mavs stuff to get to, but I had a couple of other NBA questions for you first. With the news about Jason Tatum, which as soon as we saw it, it felt like that's what was happening. Do you think he's also done for most, if not all, of next season?
Yes. I lived this watching Derrick Rose. Obviously, that was an ACL injury years ago in the postseason in Chicago. And then, of course, Kevin Durant a few years ago in that last year when he was with the Warriors. It would really surprise me, guys, especially in this day and age when players and teams are being more cautious about not rushing guys back to the floor if we saw Tatum back next year. And that, to me, is the hardest part for the Celtics because, you know, you lose Tatum, the Knicks have all this momentum. It didn't feel like they were going to get it done, certainly now in this series in the moment. But what is just an absolute crusher for Boston moving forward is I wouldn't expect Tatum to be back next year either. And we know all the salary cap ramifications and the money that's involved. Boston's future suddenly looks a lot cloudier than it did a couple days ago.
So I'm glad that you said that. And I know this is still a weird question for a team that is, you know, still technically the defending champions. But does it feel like there is going to be a lot of change this offseason in Boston potentially?
I think there has to be because what people forget a lot of times when you're watching these teams is that it's still a business. And if the Celtics, and they're going through an ownership change of their own, which is part of the entire conversation, but if they look in the mirror and they say, our best player, the guy who led us with Jaylen Brown to a title last year, is out for all of next year, why are we going to go all the way up money-wise the way we had planned to when realistically, if you're playing without Tatum, you're just not going to win a title next year. I don't care how good The other players are on the team. There's a reality that sets in that moment where you find out that the injury is as bad as it is. So I don't think there's any doubt in my mind. If you're the Celtics, you can't just run things back the way you wanted to, because the money is exorbitant. And the reality is they're just not good enough without the best player on the floor.
How much do you think the NBA would love to see Anthony Edwards, the guy that they would love to be the face, play in New York in the NBA Finals?
Funny, I was texting my buddies last night. I said, Adam Silver has got to be absolutely praying every night. And Anthony Edwards now coming out of the West would be crucial. But I'd take it a step further and say, as much as they like to see Anthony Edwards, the team that they're just praying actually gets all the way through is the Knicks.
Yeah.
Yes.
there's a chance, guys, that if you're sitting there and you're the NBA, there is a very realistic chance at this point that it could end up being Pacers Thunder.
I mean, look at those markets.
The diehards, they know that those are two very good teams. They've got young stars. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is going to win the MVP. Halliburton looks like the player that was dominating a couple years ago, and he's gone through some ups and downs in between. But you can't tell me the people that don't watch the NBA and the casual fan that the league is always hoping appears for at the finals are going to sit there and tune into Pacers and Thunder. So, yes, Anthony Edwards is awesome. He's got the personality. That the conversation about him being the new face, it certainly isn't going anywhere, especially if they get through Golden State and they can find a way into the finals. But the team that the NBA desperately needs as far as viewership and ratings and on is the Knicks, because finals games at the Garden would be unbelievable. And if it ends up being the Pacers, that is not a good thing for the league itself.
Now, you keep saying they desperately need this and they can pray for it, or do you think the NBA can just rig it like they did the draft lottery for the Mavericks? You know what I'm saying?
I've had way too many friends through the years, guys, that have been in that room, the room where you get sequestered and your phone is gone, to actually believe that it got rigged. But I can't tell you in that moment. The other night, how many people are texting me going, oh, this is rigged. I mean, there was just no way. But again, I spent a lot of time in Chicago. The Bulls did it in that Derrick Rose draft. The Mavericks getting Cooper Flagg. The questions about the lottery being rigged are always going to be around. I personally don't believe it. It's a great thing for Dallas, given all the things that they went through. But I was like everybody else. I'm sitting there going, you got to be kidding me. The Mavericks, after all the Luka stuff, they are the ones that are going to get Cooper Flagg. But everything happened the way that they needed it to. And it is certainly a fun storyline going into next year about just how quickly things have turned around for that group.
Talk with our Odyssey NBA insider, Nick Friedel. Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. Hyundai helps you protect you and your family on the road. We put your safety first and everything else second. Now, I know we talked about like the ratings possibility of the Pacers, but from a strictly basketball perspective, man, the Pacers with the gentleman's sweep of the Cavs, that still feels shocking. Donovan Mitchell on and off, injury problems or not.
It is. And it reminds me one more time that as great as a team can look in the regular season, the playoffs are just different. And Cleveland fans would say, oh, well, we weren't healthy and Mitchell wasn't the same player. Fine. But don't hit me again with, oh, the Cavs, they're just dominating in these games in January and February. Oh, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. No. Because the playoffs are a completely different game. And we've seen it time and again. And I think as far as the Pacers go, the confidence that they got last year and to go into to Madison Square Garden and to win that game seven and to know that you can play at a different level when the games matter the most, that is crucial. So when people say, oh, well, sometimes the momentum doesn't carry over season to season, I think the Pacers are case in point that it does, and it can. And so all those young players on that roster, and you get Halliburton playing at the level he's at, when you can do that, you're not going to go into any other atmosphere and go, I don't know if we can make this happen, because they already did. And so it was clear watching those games, Indiana's just a better team. The hard part, again, and this ties into a larger NBA conversation, is that unless you're following the league day-to-day, most people don't even pay attention to the Pacers.
Yeah.
So they're going, who are these guys? What's happening? But they get paid like everybody else. Rick Carlisle is a hell of a coach, yep, as you guys well know, over time. And there is trust on the floor when you watch that group. And when you have that, especially in the postseason, you can make a lot of stuff happen.
Now, Nick, my co-host, Kevin, is a big Duke fan, so he got to see it firsthand. But yesterday, a lot of our listeners were like, don't oversell this kid. Don't oversell Cooper Flagg.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was from a guy who's kind of seen the whole league and watched it that way and probably watched this kid. Is there any overselling him, or is the product real?
He's that good. He's that good. And I would tell anybody who's sitting there going, I don't know, really, after 1 year at Duke, when you talk to people around the league and you ask them about what they saw from Cooper Flagg and what they've been hearing, not just last year, but the last few years, the list of people that you would trade right now to trade places. Yeah, I mean, Cooper Flagg is already one of those guys who, as far as building a team around, I mean, guys, that list, it's not 10 people long. And can he get to the level of the top tier stars in the game? I think he can. I really do. And I think that when you have that and you have the trust in a player and how much he's going to be able to grow as he continues to work in his game, the Mavs just, they lucked out in the best possible way from a basketball standpoint, because
this podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit menstclinic.com. That's menstclinic.com.
College football summer is no time to slouch, because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series, as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit, as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This kid is that good, and he's going to get better, and he is the star that any team dreams about, that you have to have to win titles. I mean, he is that guy. There's just not much doubt in my mind as I talk to NBA personnel that not only is he that good in the moment, but he's going to make everybody else around him that much better. And that's why I was just in disbelief.
Yeah.
Because the Mavs, they needed a break of breaks for it to happen. They got it. And I think that this kid is the real deal, and we're going to see it really early on once he gets there.
I know some people will already argue for Cooper Flagg can move about 1-5 offensively and defensively, but I would make the argument that at the 2, 3, and 4, he's already has the potential to be very effective offensively and defensively. Does that feel fair?
Very fair. And there's a reason why the hype was what it was. And guys, when you're watching Duke And I know the college game certainly isn't close to what it used to be. And the talent level night to night isn't there. But there were times that you would watch those games, and certainly you saw it as a fan. He's just dominating. these other kids on the floor, they had no chance. So when you're at that point already, and like you said, 2, 3, 4, you could put him anywhere. That's what makes him so intriguing on the NBA level, because already that learning curve that is usually so steep for a lot of young players, it's just not there with him. And going to the league and going through those ups and downs that every young prospect has to deal with, that's going to be tough on its own. But I think that this guy can handle it. And there's a reason why he made so many different people in the NBA so excited about the possibility of drafting him. And frankly, guys, that's why I was laughing when people were bringing it up in the last couple of days. Oh, well, you could trade him for this guy. That he'll be trading Cooper Flagg. I mean, my old buddy Tim McMahon, he put the story out. But I'm sitting there laughing going, you don't understand. Like, this is that guy. This is the guy that can change the level and the arc of a team on his own for the next decade. The Mavs got him. They went through all the things in the last few months to get to this point, but they got the dude that so many other NBA teams wanted.
So don't trade him to the Lakers to get Luka back is what I'm hearing, man.
No, do not trade this dude for damn near anybody. He's that good.
I love it. Thank you very much. Great insight this morning. Really appreciate your time, sir.
It was great to be with you guys. Have a great day.
There you go. That was Odyssey Sports NBA Insider Nick Friedell. Insider calls are brought to you by Hyundai. We put your safety first and everything else second. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com.
I like that guy, man. I like that.
He likes to laugh. Yeah, that was fun.
That dude had great personality. I think we could have him back on at some point.
All right. Let's make it happen. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets. Does that mean that these two iconic players are finally going to get into the Hall? Next on The Fan.
2-1 pitch from Shao.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan right now. Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. It's time for Baseball Nuggets. Do you care anymore? That seems to be the new question.
Yes, I do.
Okay, because I know there's some people that are like, oh, I can't believe Pete Rose, or yay, Pete Rose, and all of that. So the commissioner said that if you're ineligible on the ineligible list, that will now expire once you die. And so since Pete Rose and Shoeless Joe Jackson and like 19 other people are dead that were on that list, they are now off the banishment list, could theoretically get into the Hall of Fame. Do you care?
I do. And I hate it.
Oh.
It seems ridiculous. This is a way for Major League Baseball to make a statement while you're alive and then profit off your name after you're dead. Now, he's not in the Hall of Fame yet, right? Like, voters still have to decide that's a thing. But you're going to Cooperstown to look at things inside of that place. And there are going to be, if this is the case now, there are going to be multiple people who they decided, well, you've passed away now, and we're going to profit off your name.
Yeah.
And I don't like that they decide that. Also, you made this statement as a lesson to everybody in baseball.
Yeah.
That your legacy will never be able to be part of the Hall of Fame. You will be completely invisible to the game of baseball forever because you did this. Now, if I'm a player, I'm just thinking to myself, hold on. If I'm really good and I die and I raked in $300 million in betting debt or betting money while I was playing the game, what's the point? Like, I'll enjoy my money while I'm alive, and then when I die, they might put me in the Hall of Fame. So I don't like this at all. I think it's stupid and ridiculous, but I understand that he had a lot of people Mike Schmidt included. I mean, there are a lot of people up there that are very happy about this, with the Reds and the Phillies, that are very happy about this because there were a lot of people in his corner along the way. It would have been better had it been done while he was alive. I would have been more okay with it then.
Wow. I did not know you had such a fiery opinion. I like it. Let's move from that to Roky Sasaki. Roky Sasaki has been put on the injured list with a shoulder impingement. Thus far, it's tough because he was made out to be like the next greatest pitcher of all time, and he's not really been that great, but also he's made 8 starts in the major leagues ever. I guess I just kind of expected him from the hype, much like Yu Darvish.
To be like, oh, Paul Skeens.
Yeah, oh yeah, or Yu Darvish back in the day hit the ground running, and he's 1-1 with a 4.72 ERA.
That's fine.
Exactly.
That's actually good.
It's fine.
It's good.
Ooh, I'm going to stick with fine.
Okay.
So his average fastball velocity, and this is the concern about the shoulder issue, is down 3 to 4 miles per hour from its peak in Japan.
Okay.
Now, that doesn't have to mean the worst, but once you see a big drop in velocity, you hear shoulder or elbow issue,
yep,
and you fear that it could be something potentially major. We'll see, but for now, Sasaki went on the 15-day injured list for the Dodgers.
Okay. Hopefully he gets better. Like, listen, in instances where it's the opponent that I hate, then I'm probably going, man, I hope he never comes back. But
yeah,
in instances where it doesn't affect me that much, for baseball purposes, I want the best. I want to see the best happen. So I hope he gets back.
Yeah, so you're not like actively rooting against him or anything like
that. Not at all.
Okay, that's good. Because if you were, I'd kind of think you were a jerk.
I'm not.
There you go.
When have you ever known me to really be a jerk? Got one time that I was kind of a jerk to you.
Oh, yeah. At Nobu, and then when I had to sit through that stupid HR meeting because of you.
Okay. All right.
You know why.
That did happen.
That was your fault. All right. Let's go from that. Alec, do you know that story?
Oh, we don't need to relive that story
right now.
I'll tell them off air.
Maybe we'll tell it off air, or if you show up to any of our live events.
There you
go. But come to me.
Don't get
the story from Corey. Come to me. I'll tell you what happened.
What I said was right.
All right. Drake. Let's go to the Atlanta Braves. Drake Baldwin delivered a single, double, and 2-run home run to give the Braves a 5-2 win over the Nationals last night. This is his first career 3-hit game, and you might be like, that's great. I don't care about Drake Baldwin. Fair enough. But the Braves are now at 500. They are just the 5th team ever to get to 500 after starting out 0-7.
Really?
Because remember, we were like, hold on, are the Braves just going to stink
all
year? They're
going to fall apart.
And it's only...
Sometimes you have a slow start.
Yes. And they're only back to 500, but this feels like a big jump for them.
Do you think that this... Out of all those teams that ever got back to 500, did any of them ever go further? Did they ever make playoffs?
I did not do the next level research.
I feel like the A's are all 5 of these teams. You know, the A's always have that. They're like, first half, you're like, what is happening? They're the worst. And then that second half, don't count out the A's. And then they come back and do something. So
true.
I don't know.
Although I do think that rules out the fact that for like a decade, you could definitely count out the A's. And that was fine.
Except for that, well... You still think that Jeter play was overrated?
I think that Jeter play is massively overrated. I think that ball was going to make it there in time.
He needed the
yeah,
light.
Oh, I'm going to flip it over even faster. What a genius play. It was going to make it there in time.
You should ask Boach about that today at 12:30.
Man. Okay. I hope he'll be like, I don't even know that play.
And then I'll say, don't you think Jeter was overrated as a player in general?
Oh, my God.
And he was just a guy. Michael Young could have been
no
that guy.
There's no way that Bruce Bochy is going to tell you that Derek Jeter was just a guy.
Chris Woodward went after me on that one.
He
was nice in the way he did it. He was like, come on, what are you talking about? And I was like, all right, fine. I like you, Chris Woodward.
All right, so we talked about the injury to Roky Sasaki. That will help, in part, pave the way for Clayton Kershaw. Dave Roberts said yesterday that Clayton Kershaw will make his season debut. This is his 18th season on Saturday at Dodger Stadium against the Angels. Remember, he's coming back from a torn meniscus in his left knee, a ruptured plantar plate in his big toe last November. It's a lot.
Yeah, man. That's again, this is the question of when do you finally give up? Like, when
this
do you finally
feels
say
like the last
that's
stand,
been it?
Right?
You didn't start the season, for one.
Yeah.
Your body's at, and maybe it is. Do you want to go out of the of your career with, hey, I gave it everything I had, there was nothing left, and the end wasn't that great? Or do you want to go out on top? That's always a really interesting conversation, because when you're in the mix and you want to battle, you want to be part of it. And granted, every player that's ever retired says kind of the same thing. I miss the camaraderie. I miss the clubhouse. I miss that part of it.
Yeah.
That was the most fun. And as we learned, I mean, we watched Derek go through it. You're not immediately invited back into it. You're not. When they celebrated the World Series, Derek was like, I had to watch from the dugout. I had to watch from the sidelines. You know, so it is different whenever, you know, those guys are in the middle of it all and you want to be there.
And not that
and you spent most of your life there already.
Yes. And it certainly seems like, maybe you think every player gets this opportunity, but it certainly feels like Clayton Kershaw is a person who gets to decide how their career ends, right?
Yeah. Like Verlander.
Yeah.
Those guys are going to get those opportunities.
Yeah. I think that's very fair. Do you think
like Josh Young, guys like, you know, Jake Berger, I'm just going with local guys.
Thus
you know,
far, you know, would not.
We don't know exactly where they land on that yet.
You know what? Speaking of local guys, Josh Smith, do you think there is proper appreciation in the Metroplex for Josh Smith? Because I'm always fascinated when like a national story comes up about it. And so he's one of the players featured on MLB.com. They had their seven utility players thriving through versatility. And so when we get to Josh Smith, it talks about like, hey, he can pretty much play every conceivable position that you want.
He's the guy, Kevin, that coaches, managers go, if I had a team full of him,
okay,
I'd have a great team. You know, I just need that guy.
So he's already played first base, second base, third base, shortstop, left field, center field, and right field. I think the answer is yes. Do you feel like the Metroplex has a proper appreciation for Josh Smith?
No.
Oh.
Because of guys like me who are just like, well, is he a starter, though? You know, is he a legitimate 150 games a year at one position? Is he good enough to be better than one of those guys? He's not good. Obviously, he's not good enough to be better than Young. He's not good enough to be better than Corey Seager. He's good enough to fill in for him. And you need a Josh Smith or a Duran so that you do have it. He's not good enough to take over for any of those positions. They even brought Berger back when they had Josh Smith there.
Yeah.
You could be like, he could be your everyday first baseman, but he's essential to your team. So it's a weird place.
So you think it's more, he's not good enough right now to take those positions, as opposed to the Rangers have been like, hey, we'll keep him in the lineup at a different place all the time so we can give people rest and just move him wherever.
It's essential, right? Like, that's exactly what he is. And then I know a lot of casual Rangers fans, watchers that love Josh and call him our next Michael Young. At some point, maybe there does become I don't know if he'll ever be to the point where Chris Young goes, all right, it's time to move on from this guy and Josh Smith will take his place. Like, I don't know if that's ever going to happen, but again, a guy like Bochy will fight to the death for a Josh Smith because of how important he is to the team.
Yeah. All right. I'm with you on that. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. And the good news, by the way, about that is he's just moving into arbitration for the next 3 years. So, like, he doesn't need to go anywhere.
Get him cheap, huh, is what you're saying?
Yes.
And if we don't play him that much, then we can get him cheaper. I see where you're going with this.
Coming up next, we'll talk about the Stars a little bit more, but also the Rangers extend their winning streak to 4. And what would you give Texas as a grade at the quarter point of the season? Next, right here on The Fan.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tea Clinic. One visit can change your life. Men's Tea Clinic offers a variety of men's wellness programs to help you meet your goals and keep you as strong as you've ever been. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA today or visit mensteaclinic.com. That's mensteaclinic.com.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.